Thank you. I know the abstract says Charles Burr, but everybody calls me Chuck. The only person that really called me Charles was my mom, and that's only when she was mad at me. So, like to recognize, I'm from West Central Research and Extension Center in North Platte. I'm an extension educator there, kind of focusing on irrigation management and cropping systems. My co-author is Brian Olson's here. He's the Learning Center Manager at Gothenburg. Monsanto has a Water Utilization Learning Center, which is kind of the focus or part of the focus of this talk. Mark Ryman is the agronomist there at the Learning Center. And then Greg Krueger, Tim Shaver, Darren Rudnick, and Rodrigo Worley are all specialists at the Research and Extension Center in North Platte and have been involved in research and extension projects. Darren's here in the office or here in the audience. And then Humberto Blanco is a soil scientist based out of Lincoln. He is involved in a project there at the Learning Center as well. So this collaboration, kind of a formalized collaboration, started back in 2012. And the discussions for this really started a couple years before that. Back then, our district director was Don Adams. He and Chandler Mazur, who was the Learning Center manager at that time, had some discussions about how could Monsanto and UNL work together on research and extension projects. And then once they decided to do that, how do they formalize that transfer of funds, responsibilities, and things like that. So it took a couple years, but really started back in 2012. Basically the project or the collaboration indicated an extension educator would spend about half their time at the Monsanto facility. That happened to be me. I spent half my time there at Gothenburg. These are some of the things I helped work on as I was there. Demonstration, research plot design. Typically in the winter months when the snow was blowing, we'd sit around a table and talk about what do farmers need to understand or what's the latest UNL or K-State research that we can relay to producers to help them be more efficient with water applications. So a lot of discussions on that, plot designs, and then we collected a lot of research data. Some of that was fun and interesting, some of it was kind of a pain. I remember one year we had a hailstorm right before it was time to harvest soybeans, so we physically got on our hands and knees and counted pods and pods that had been broken open and dispersed the seed. So that was, it was fun for about 10 minutes, and after that it wasn't very much fun. Also served as a tour presenter. We had a trans where people would get on and we'd drive around the research and look at the plots and everything. So I'd present some university data there, not only UNL, but K-State or whoever, we pulled data from. We did seminars and staff training, so Monsanto would bring some of their DSMs in, dealers and others, and we would train them not only on what's going on there, but, you know, pertinent research information. And then we did some demo plot reports, and I'll show one of those here in a little bit. So all these, the data that was collected on these demonstration slides, research plots would be summarized at the end of the season and published so that producers could take a look at that. So here's just a picture of the staff there in 2012, and see if you can pick out the UNL employee. Now can you pick out the UNL employee? This is probably the only day in my 3.5 years there that I didn't have a bright red UNL shirt on with a hat that had a big red N logo on it. And if you look close, I think it was underneath of the Learning Center shirt that I pulled on over top. I was pretty cognizant of being a UNL employee. I wanted to wear my red Husker shirt, my hat with a red N logo on it. I want people that were there to understand that I was not a Monsanto employee. Yes, they did pay a portion of my salary to be there, but I was still a UNL employee relaying, you know, we're famous for unbiased research information, right, as a university employee. So I was pretty cognizant of that and wear my Husker red every day. So this is the research demonstration reports, and you can go to the Gothenburg Learning Center website and download this information from the last several years. But basically, it's just a booklet with all the different demonstrations, studies that we did over the years, that year, and then we would summarize that, you know, kind of some background, some nice pictures, and then we had a result. So, you know, they'd be maybe 2 to 5 pages long. So not only did we work there physically at the Learning Center there in Gothenburg, Nebraska, but we also did some programming around the state. Back in 2012, we had a pretty severe drought. Nebraska and of course much of the Midwest, and we really had some issues with some producers that were not following university recommendations and using Monsanto products and things like that to be more efficient. The green area here on the graph is the Republican Basin. That was further amplified by pumping restrictions. In that area, they can only pump so many inches of irrigation water per year, their allocation. So I know of a couple producers in the Middle Republican that used up their 10 and a half inches of water by pollination time. So they were done irrigating from grain field, you know, the whole grain field time period. So that was the intent of this effort, is to do some education. We did three locations, had just under 200 people attend. UNL, we talked about, you know, efficient systems, crop rotations, things like that, how to be more efficient with the water they did have. And then Monsanto, we'll talk about some of their corn hybrids that are available. Drought Guard was coming out about then, to where they could be more efficient and get higher yield with that limited amount of water. And then we did another thing, and this is kind of Brian's brainchild when he came to the Learning Center, was to put together an irrigation summit. And then what came out of that was this irrigation handbook. We invited university and ARS faculty in from Nebraska, Colorado, Kansas, and Texas, and basically pulled all the information together, recommendations, research that's been known over the years, and kind of summarized it into this booklet. I was given the task to kind of summarize the different scheduling and irrigation application systems, and I was really nervous when I did this presentation at the summit, because we had the Steve Yvettes in there, the Freddie Lambs, the Daryl Martins, you know, the leading experts in the field, and here I was trying to tell them something. So I was really nervous, but it really turned out very well. Basically, we told them what we were planning to include in this handbook, and they gave us feedback. You know, you're missing this, or, you know, this is different for Nebraska than it is Texas. Let's tweak this a little bit. So it really turned out very well. I know there's been a couple extra printings of this. It's been pretty good demand for this publication. Another one we did was on dryland cropping. Oh, I'm sorry. These are the chapters for the irrigation handbook. We talked about residue management, scheduling, types of irrigation systems, cropping practices, and then again, crop protection and traits and products available for the Monsanto. We also did a dry land and water management guide here for corn in the Great Plains. Chandler, Missouri came to me and said, you know, we need to pull this together. These are the chapters we need to write on. And I said, well, you know, this has all been done already. Bob Klein's been talking about this stuff for years. So I took several NEB guides and extension circulations from Nebraska and Kansas and kind of pulled all this information together and put it in one publication. So again, the information was there. We just kind of repackaged it and again distributed it out. And this is, again, a joint publication between UNL and Monsanto. We'll get into some of the research studies that we've done the last several years. This is one that I was really interested in and kind of took the lead on. We looked at residue removal, baling, grazing, and then no removal. At that time, we had a lot of people baling corn stalks to blend with the wet distillers' grains because the ethanol industry was really taking off. And I was concerned about removing residue and basically having nothing left to, you know, reduce evaporation, get water to soak into the field and everything. We looked at, of course, the removal. We had two different irrigation levels, strip-till and no-till, and five replications. And this was all done at the Learning Center. So coming out of this study, we've already had one paper accepted. Humberto Blanco, just about a month ago, received word that this publication was accepted. It hasn't been published yet, but was accepted. And if you want something done, get Humberto on your team, because I'm still collecting yield data and penetrometer readings, and he's got a publication accepted already. So a couple more publications that will come out. We're looking at soil compaction and then water use efficiency. One day we went out and found a baby calf there. Apparently the neighbor's bull got in with the cows and bred one cow a little bit earlier. But give us a more accurate reflection of animal units that we were targeting. So another collaboration was we have a Stumpf International Wheat Center at Grant. This is a new facility for UNL. And Monsanto is working with us, providing some funding for a research technologist. And they help that person helped with farming operations, wheat plot research, which we do some of that for Bayer and Monsanto there. And then, of course, extension field days. There's also been some funding for our Doctorate of Plant Health program, where Monsanto provides opportunities for these students who are working on their PhDs to come to the Learning Center and just learn about industry field research and get more more information and experience working with private industry. There's also a couple other studies Greg Kruger and Tim Shaver were involved in, involving tillage and nitrogen. Most of this has not been published yet. Data's collected. I worked on a cover crop stubble height study for 3 years, and we did that at three locations, looking at different stubble heights with and without cover crops. And then we followed that with the yields of corn after the next growing season. Another study Greg looked at was corn and soybean water use efficiency, looking at different hybrids and varieties under different irrigation application amounts. Then he also did a study there. It was replicated at the Learning Center on different corn hybrids from like 30, 40 years ago compared to modern day hybrids and how they are different in terms of water use efficiency. And most recently, about a month ago, Brian called me and said, hey, we've got some funding if you can do a study on cover crops here at the Learning Center. So I contacted Rodrigo Worley and his student, Alex Rosa, who's got a poster here later this afternoon, to look at that stubble height and cover crops. And we put out some neutron tubes, so we're monitoring soil water as the cover crops are using water, and then we'll follow that through the growing season with the corn as well. So we've got four locations, including the Learning Center. So I guess kind of lessons learned, open and direct communication is very important. Look for common ground, trust is the foundation. That was a big thing for me when I started. The goal was, Chandler's kind of thought was, well, let's get this agreement and kind of see where it goes. That was very difficult for me. I'm the kind of person that says, tell me what you want me to do, and I'll take care of it. It's not, well, we'll figure it out as we go. That was tough for me, but really turned out very well. For Monsanto, I think a positive response from producers that they're working with UNL to help, you know, move things forward. And for us, been very positive response from producers, knowing that we're working with a private industry, a leading ag industry company, to kind of further our goals. There's always going to be detractors, but the impact really is more than individual parts. And a little bit more from my perspective, you know, it was great for me not to have to work full-time at a university facility. I didn't have to set up tables and chairs. I didn't have to plan lunch. Didn't have to send out news releases. I just showed up and I talked to farmers. That's like what I'm good at. That's what I enjoy. I got to do that a whole lot. The other thing that was really good was I wasn't always talking to the typical extension audience that always comes to every meeting you have. I also worked on a pivot manufacturers project 3 years prior to this collaboration, and I did some hand surveys at the meetings, and 20% of those in attendance, which were basically invited by the pivot dealers in the area, they'd set up a meeting, we'd come to a program, about 20% had ever been to an extension irrigation related conference. So I was getting to people that didn't even know they had problems or that they could do things better, you know. That's my biggest, concern is some of these producers have been doing the same things for 40 years. They're growing 250, 300 bushel of corn. Obviously, they're great irrigators, right? Well, they don't understand that maybe they could do things a lot better and make improvements. So we were getting to those that weren't the typical extension followers. It was great to have access to land and equipment for research studies, and the food was really good. I mean, I'd come into the tour day and we had donuts there. At lunch, we had great meals, dessert, ice cream, and then in the afternoon, you know, free pop and water, Gatorade, whatever you want. The 1 year we even had a slushy machine, so I get a slushy before I head home. So. With that, I don't know if we have time for questions, comments, or. Yeah, there's a little break in the program, I think.
Let's thank our speaker.
Thank you.